Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. The show is Content That Moves the Needle, where we try to bring reliable business development resources to help an advisor grow their qualified plan practice. Today is September the 10th, broadcasting live from Hanover, Pennsylvania, from the Unified Trust Studios, and it is my absolute pleasure to introduce my guest today, Mr. Andrew Evans. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Well, Andrew is joining us today from the very scenic and 4.5 hours away from me, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Andrew is and serves as the managing director for the Atlantic Financial Group, and which is a securities principal registered through Cambridge Investment Research. But we're not here to talk about that. What we are here to talk about today is the arduous task and weighty decisions that go into advisor transitions. So Andrew and I are going to talk about the who, the what, the where, the why, and the when, about when an advisor chooses to make a business change, such as changing broker-dealers. But Andrew, before we do that, I'd like you to give a little bit of background on yourself so people know who you are, what you do, and why you are qualified to talk about transitions with financial advisors.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot, Chuck. Again, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. And yes, I am here in sunny, scenic Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, PA. It is opening day of the NFL. Go Steelers. Just leave it at that.
Hold on.
Yes.
Go Patriots.
Yeah.
My show.
Maybe not.
Go ahead.
I know it's your show. I defer. So I currently am a managing director. I help directly in really three areas: field development, finding reps, working with reps, bringing them on board, helping them with their logistics, to handling supervisory function as an office of supervisory jurisdiction, being the OSJ. And then I still am an advisor, and I still have a clutch of clients that I work with, day-to-day, helping them with, the needs that a financial advisor helps their clients with. And I still maintain that because, it keeps me in the business and not trying to direct my reps in things that I don't know what they're dealing with, if hopefully that makes sense. I'm in it just as they're in it. Now, I directly oversee 32 reps. My downline of people who I supervise, we do about $4.5 million on a rolling 12 basis. We do additional business in life, which I believe on a total collected amount is maybe about $700,000 in life business. I've worked directly with almost all of the new reps into our organization since. We added rep number 125. We are currently at 260. So since rep 125 till 260, I've been there to help and work with our reps. And when we do a transition call, when we're transitioning a rep, I play center field to all the questions that are specific to registration, compliance, or paperwork to move the practice. And I cover items like who's going to cover the ACAT fees, what software is best for pre-filling the information, who are the teams at Cambridge that handle getting set up with RPAG or FI360, things like that. So that's who I am.
So, Andrew, it's good to know that, A, you're actually out in the field every day servicing clients, although it's not the bulk of your business. It's also very interesting for the folks to know that, working inside of Atlantic, they're a very large branch. They are a very vibrant branch, and they are a growing branch. And you have been involved in some or all of the transitions for a very large number of reps. So at the end of the day, what I like to say there is, been there, done that, you have the hat and the T-shirt. And for those of you that don't know this, I grew up in New England in a small town on Cape Cod, so tonight's game, now you all know who I'd be rooting for, and Andrew and I are moderately good friend, so I won't go back in and edit out the go Pittsburgh Steelers thing. So, but we're here to talk about transition. Advisors talk about this. It's paralyzing. It's terrifying. You know, it's usually the straw that breaks the camel's back. But, Andrew, in broad pictures, why do advisors move? Is it always compensation? Is it product offering? Or is it something more broad than that?
I'd say, to put it simply, advisors typically move because of a fundamental difference they have with their current BD or RIA or employer. There is something in the way that they view the world that where they currently are does not view the world. It could be payout. I mean, it could be, but it mostly has to do with a level of service they are just not receiving anymore.
Well, that's interesting that you brought up employer, because what we are seeing is, you know, as the market grows and shrinks, you know, expands and contracts, we are seeing, you know, former sort of external business development consultants or wholesalers, whether it's on the mutual fund side or the annuity side or the 401k side, leaving to go out and sort of do it on their own, throw out their own shingle. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Listen, we've done a number of transitions, for a broad word. How do you make them workable?
Well, I think in anything, to make something workable is both sides have to set the expectation as to what you're about to go into. It's always going to be work. It always is work. It's never fun. It just isn't fun. So the best thing you could do as an advisor, and this is how we make it workable, is we talk about what is your data like. The if you don't have information readily available in electronic format, it's going to be very tough. But if you have strong data on your client's demographic suitability information, you know, even taking a look at not necessarily account numbers, but how many accounts and what type of accounts the clients have in a household, that can make the largest difference in a transition. Good, clean data.
So data and expectations, two things that, you know, are becoming more and more prevalent in, you know, anything that we're doing in our industry, whether it's growing a business, transitioning a business, selling a business, purchasing a practice. The data and the expectation that surrounds those things are very, very important. I know one of the big reasons why advisors are usually terrified or very uncomfortable making a business transition change like this is because of income. So how do you and how does your firm prevent that loss of income?
Well, you know, a lot of reps take the approach, or they view it as, well, I'm going to be out of work for 3 months. And that's not necessarily the case. But what that comes down to prevent a loss of income is we look at it from a project management standpoint. And so four things that we do our best to stay on top of. So as I mentioned before, one, you have to have data. So collect your data, have it ready. Two, have a strong system to pre-fill forms, either electronically or by hand. Make sure you have a strong system to get those forms filled out. Three, schedule face-to-face appointments with clients. Do it. Do it, do it, do it. We continually run into people who, I guess what I could say is they will start to have sensitivity around going and having things signed. We'll say even in the qualified plan space, but you know what? There's really nothing better than, say, scheduling face to face with that business owner in the company to get paperwork going. And number four, which oddly is one of the hardest things people to do, is just stay on task. Okay, if you're putting together the paperwork and you're trying to get your business moved, you know what? If you're filling out forms, stay filling out the forms. Focus on that. Don't get sidetracked into, you know, I'm going to go on a due diligence trip for the next 3 days. Stay on task. And if you could keep a diligent focus, you should be able to get that book moved really within a month or so. Now, that does not mean you're going to know all you need to know about your new home, your new BD, RIA. It's just that if you stay focused and diligent, you can get a large percentage of your accounts moved over. You could backfill everything else, but you got to get those assets moved.
That's really good. I like the fact that you've got it broken down into four steps, three of which you can help with and one of which you cannot, which is you can help them stay on task, or a firm like yours can help them stay on task, but the actual machinations of getting up and just going to do the work are the ones that always fall on top of the advisor. So, you know, we've made transitions in the past. They've always been at different times of the year, for different reasons. But is there a best time to make a transition if you're looking to do this?
I'd say, you know, the best time to do a transition is all year and never. There's always going to be a reason throughout the year to not move during a specific month or a quarter. You have to jump in. Okay? You have to be ready to go. If you're ready to go, then you go. It doesn't matter your timing. Because like I said, if there's a fundamental reason for you to move, then you're going to move, and you'll move whenever. The timing of it really doesn't make a lot of difference. The paperwork's the paperwork, the tasks are the tasks. It really comes down to you, the rep advisor, deciding that, you know what, the time has come, I got to go.
I think it's important that you mention that when the pain is great enough, which is a phrase that I hear, you know, pretty frequently by being affiliated and knowing the folks at AFG really well, you know, when the pain's great enough, you'll move. And I talk to a lot of advisors over the course of the year, and it's not usually one thing that gets them thinking. It's not usually two things that get them thinking. And I call it the straw that breaks the camel's back. And when that straw lands on the proverbial camel's back, you're going to move away from that pain. So I think it's important to know that when you think about the way you've laid it out, that there's never a good time, and right then is a good time. But when you break it down into a systematic, predictable series of steps, and you stay on top of it, and you do the work, and you schedule the appointments, and you go have those important conversations, all of those things start to fall in line. So you talk about making the whole transition sort of a project management puzzle. How do you sort of project manage this task?
Well, we do it in a few key ways, and I'll drill down on one of them that I think is very important. But you know, we have a team that helps with registration, that reviews the compliance needs, and we have, you know, a tear sheet that we just go right down the line to make sure, hey, this thing happened, this thing happened, this thing happened, before we can move on to the next category. But the biggest thing you have to project manage is obviously paperwork and asset movement. And there's really three ways to do it. You can do it hard manual, print out forms, fill them out, have client sign, you sign, send to BD. Lighter way to do it, or more technology, is getting a program like a Laserfiche or a laser app, where you can import some information, but then you have to click through the buttons, print out paperwork, take it to the client, fill in the holes, client signs it, you sign it, send it to the BD. What we've started to use is the DocuPace EPAC system. For those who don't know, it is an automated system that gives you choices of either producing the paperwork, printing it and having it signed, or utilizing an e-signature opportunity to then just email it to your client, have them sign it electronically back to you, and move on to your BD. But it helps because now you have a project management tool, not a spreadsheet, but an actual system that's going to tell you who you put into the system, whose paperwork you did send out, whose paperwork you did receive, and then it's a much easier way to know, did I get the Jones account moved? Did I move the Smiths from here to there? Did these change of broker dealers get signed? Okay, and that's usually what's lacking when rep advisors make transition, is they tend to do it on the fly. They tend to make it a fire drill. And what I'm saying here with using the system is it comes back to what I said before. Good, clean data can be put into this system well before you ever engage with us, just to kind of get yourself ready. And so then if you give yourself, say, a month of prep once you've decided it's time to go, you could start working with this system and get these things in process and order and ready to go. So the day you transition, you can then just start sending out the emails with the paperwork to have them electronically sign, or to start printing off forms and going to the clients and having them sign. But it just makes it cleaner. I'd say it makes it easier to agree to a degree, understanding, like I said before, it's always work, it's never fun, but you could now have a nice electronic system that keeps things paperless, keeps it in order, and you can track the flow of signatures and account retention.
Andrew, that brings up an interesting question that might be a little bit off topic. You know, every time we've done a transition, it's always been sort of that manual. Not that we don't employ technology when we've done it in the past, because we have, but it's always been more that face to face, bring the forms, get everything signed, have the appointment, like you've mentioned. When you do these transitions, is there a percentage that are going all digital, maybe going out, having the meeting, sending the electronic file for signature, or is it split down the middle? Is it 60-40? Is it growing one way or the other? What are you seeing in the last, you know, two dozen transitions you've done?
Well, it's still heavily a manual process. It just is. You know, we unfortunately, inside of our industry, our technology is not really the best. You know, a lot of places, heck, we could still be running on DOS. So we're not lighting it up as a startup technology company in our industry. We're just not doing it. So the bulk of it still has been manual, but we are starting to see a trend and a flow over to a more digital transition process. The more we can get it digital, and that takes you know, care and education to a rep who's looking, who does feel the pain, who wants to move, is telling them, if you're feeling the pain, start preparing your data now. Nothing will make this transition easier, more smooth than you having strong, clean data and having a strong technology system to back you up in your transition process. So hopefully that answers your question, is that, you know what, we're starting to see the trend to that digital side, but we are still heavy, you know, manual.
No, it absolutely answers it. I think that I can't agree more that technology in our industry can always be improved in an almost industry, but maybe more so in ours. So I think my question was probably more along the lines of, are we seeing it becoming adopted, or, you know, do you still see the paper, you know, dominating us for the next 5 years? And I hope that's not the case, but it could very well be.
Well, you know, my opinion, and this is just my straight opinion of it, is that, as we know, technology moves very quickly. And I would say, you know, not in the next 5 years, but I think we're probably in the first inning of a more technologically based transition. And I think it'll probably be more adopted more regularly somewhere in the next 2 years. I just have this, again, it's just a feeling, it's just an opinion, that as more firms adopt e-signature process, as, you know, digital security gains a lot more strength inside of BDs, as BDs consolidate as well, it's just going to push that needle. It's going to push the learning curve very quickly. So somewhere in the next 2 years, I think we'll finally hit that, say, seventh inning of, you know, getting the, you know, a bulk of transitioning reps using some form of digital transition service.
Well, thanks. Thanks for I don't mind prognostications, and I don't mind gut feeling, and I don't mind anecdotal evidence, because your anecdotal evidence will eventually turn into fact statistic-based evidence, and then, you know, maybe a year from now when we're back on talking about a something similar, we'll be able to, you know, recall our conversation about this. And I told you I'd only keep you for 20 minutes, so we're coming up on 20, and I do have one question, but I also want you to give out, you know, some information where if people want to talk transition, whether they're inside or outside of the business, whether they're a provider or an advisor, they can get a hold of you. There's this big statement. If I go through a transition, I'm going to be out of business for 6 months. Is that true?
That's a red herring. Not true. You're never out of business. You're just busy getting your paperwork back together. So you could get back in business very quickly, very efficiently. Just understand that it depends on your diligence and your focus to stay on task. You can always write new business as soon as you have your affiliation going, but you know what? You're not going to be out of business that long. It's just not going to happen.
Well, thanks for dispelling that myth. I really do appreciate it. So Andrew is of the generation, much like I am, where we're big proponents of social and digital. We're big proponents of educating people about what's going on in our area, thought leadership, things that are helpful to your practice. So Andrew, if people want to get a hold of you, what is the best way, and what are the varied ways where they can get in contact with you and see what you're up to in this whole talking transitions game?
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is to call me. As low tech as that might sound, I love phone calls, and my number is 412-977-4545. And then the more high tech ways is find me on LinkedIn. I'm Andrew J. Evans, E-V-A-N-S, and you'll find my smiling picture associated with the Atlantic Financial Group. And you can find me through Chuck. So if you're linked with Chuck, I am one of Chuck's connections on LinkedIn.
Well, excellent. It's nice to know that somebody else is using social media for the powers of good and not the powers of evil. And I want to thank you for being on the show today. So for the advisors listening, you know, normally we're talking 401k and all things 401k and occasionally social media. Today we took a different turn, largely because I think it's that time of year where you're, you know, your summer's over, you're back to the grind, you know, you're worrying about 2016, you're worrying about is your business relationship right? So Andrew, I really want to thank you for, you know, for being on the show today, and find Andrew
on
Twitter, find Andrew on LinkedIn, and if you have any questions and you can't get a hold of him, feel free to reach out to me. So this is Chuck Hammond from the 401k Study Group signing off, and hope you have a great weekend.